The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where this week is every week. We are giving you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. Congratulations to the folks who got the special national summit package over the last few weeks, and particularly at last week's fund drive. You all are in for a wonderful experience, whether you decided to come to Cincinnati Live on October 31st through November 3rd, or whether you signed up for the virtual attendance option, where you will sit at home and watch sessions on Zoom. Make sure that you get your calendars marked. Don't let anything interfere with that. I know it's 6 weeks away, 8 weeks away at this point. And we certainly don't want to be telling people, oh, yeah, sure, I can go to that on that weekend, because it is going to be a weekend that informs you and inspires you and makes you think about how you personally can make your business better in the rest of 2024 and beyond. If you're still looking for tickets, there are still some tickets available through the National Summit website, which is oreaconvention.com, but let me tell you, they are going fast. I'm looking at today's registration numbers, and there are 778 people with tickets, and that event venue holds 900 people, so you can do the math. Time is running out on actually being able to secure a ticket, and also the current prices are going to be running out in about another 3 weeks, so if you missed it and you're hearing from all your friends, oh my gosh, yeah, that is the best conference in the country, you should definitely go. I'm going. Oreaconvention.com is the place to find out more about that. And today we are going to have a little bit of an unusual show, because I think that today is the day that I am going to get talked into flipping land instead of flipping houses. My guest today is Joe McCall. He is a, well, now going on multi-decade full-time real estate investor, and has over the years been very attracted to businesses that he could easily scale and automate, which means he has mastered sort of a whole series of flipping strategies, houses, lease options, and now land. And he told me, as we were talking about doing this show, that land is the easiest one of those that he has ever done, and I am all into easy. So joining us from his home near St. Louis is Joe McCall. Joe, we have known each other for many years. You know I'm a very devoted house flipper. I have wholesaled... Hi, Joe. I have sold a lot of houses. I really know that strategy. Why do I want to flip land instead?
Well, I've got about 10 reasons. But let me just say this first of all. This doesn't have to replace your current investing strategy, right? Like, this is, I could look at it as another tool in the tool belt, or it could also be a completely new business that you do on the side. I have done houses, and I just find land is easier. The biggest reason is there's way less competition. It's way easier to find land deals. It's easier to find motivated sellers because they're just, you know, think about it. These sellers that own this land, they're not as emotionally attached to it, you know. They haven't lived in the property for 20 years. They haven't put hundreds of thousands of dollars into it over the years. This is just dirt that's sitting out there in the middle of nowhere. They haven't been there in 10 years. They're tired of paying the taxes and the HOA dues. And, you know, so many stories I've heard, you know, of people that own this land, their husband just passed away or the dad just passed away and they didn't even know he bought this land and they just want to get rid of it. They just don't care. So we can buy this land for way cheaper than houses, and you don't have to, you know, like when I was doing houses, like I just did not like having to negotiate all the time these huge discounts from these desperate, motivated, bottom-of-the-barrel sellers. You know what I mean? Like, but when it's the conversation's completely different with land because there's just not as much competition. There's not as many people, you know, knocking on that seller's door trying to make them offers. Realtors don't want to list vacant land, so the realtors aren't out there marketing to them saying, "Hey, I want to list your lot." So it's just, I found it's easier. And you know, I wanted to do something with my teenagers. This was about 4 or 5 years ago, and I looked at houses and thought, "Man, houses is kind of complicated." My boys are smart, but like, you know, I didn't want to have to train them and teach them what ARV is, you know, after repair value, or how to estimate repairs, or how to negotiate with sellers. They were just like 13-year-old and 14-year-old boys. And so I started looking at land. I had some friends that were doing land, and I started thinking, well, you know what? Shoot, what if we just, because it's not as competitive, we send out some postcards, we send all of them to a voicemail, and then we send them the offers, and you don't even have to talk to the sellers until after they get your offer. And so that's how we started doing deals. We just started, you know, sending out postcards, listening to the voicemails, sending offers at 35, 40 cents on the dollar, and just talking to the sellers after they got our voicemail. So I mean, after they got our offer. And it just, you know, that my boys didn't, we really didn't have to talk to sellers at all anymore. So, there, you know, I have a bunch more reasons too, but that's kind of a big overview why I like land better.
Well, you sort of had me at less competition.
Yeah, that's the biggest reason, in my opinion.
Since that's a, you know, that's the thing that every wholesaler these days is facing competition, both from very organized, very well-funded corporate wholesalers, but also what's worse is facing competition from the 90% of wholesalers who actually have no idea what they're doing. And so I go in and I do my numbers and I'm like, okay, my top offer is $75,000. And the next day I walks in and goes, I'll give you 120.
Yeah.
And it's like, you will? Cause you know, you're not selling it for that. Like my sale price is going to be 85 and you think you're going to sell it for 130 or 140. And that's, you know, those deals come back around, but it takes 45 or 60 days for the seller to figure out that uneducated wholesaler isn't going to close.
Yes.
What she didn't say was, can I make the same money? I mean, like,
oh, yeah.
What is a typical like wholesale profit on a piece of land?
Well, I could tell you my averages, but I got to be careful with, you know, implied income claims and that stuff. But, you know, I make just as much money on land as I do with houses. And I would argue you could make the same cash flow with land as you can with houses, and probably better. Because with land, again, we're typically buying it at 35, 40 cents on the dollar. The most we'll ever pay is 50 cents on the dollar. And you can sell land for either cash, which I call it cash now, right? Like quick profits, or you can sell it on owner financing for cash flow. And if you look at a typical deal, let's say you buy it, it's worth $20,000, you buy it for $10,000, which you can do those all day long. My numbers on average, and I'm not promising or guaranteeing these, but we get about one out of every 25 offers that we send gets accepted. That's after we've talked to them maybe a little bit. We send them an offer. We get one out of every 25 offers accepted. At the most we'll ever pay is about 50 cents on the dollar. So a property is worth $20,000. We buy it for $10,000. And then we sell it either for quick cash at maybe like $18,000 or $19,000, or we sell it on owner financing for over 5 years for maybe $21,000, $22,000. And if you run the numbers and you look at a spreadsheet what your cash-on-cash return is, it's way better than you could ever get with houses if you're selling on owner financing. When you look at it as, you know, cash-on-cash return. So you put $10,000 in, you probably get, what, $300 a month in cash flow from that vacant lot that you sell on owner financing. But the beautiful thing about it is, unlike houses, you don't have to worry about maintenance and repairs and hot water heaters and leaky roofs and tenants and damaging properties and all that. It's like it's just dirt. And so you can make just as much money wholesaling land as you can houses. Now, you don't get the tax deductions and tax benefits that you do get with houses, right? You can't depreciate land. But so there are some advantages to houses that you get over land. Also, with land, when you're selling with owner financing, normally, you know, you sell it on 5 or 10 year notes. So by the end of that 5 or 10 years, usually the buyer has bought it by then. But the amount of, I mean, what other real estate asset can you buy and own free and clear for just $10,000 without mortgages, without debt?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you can buy it for $10,000 and it's worth $20,000 or $30,000.
I need to make sure that listeners did not just hear you wrong, because, yeah, there's no tax benefits to owning land because there's nothing there to depreciate, because land actually goes up in value, not down in value. But the flipping land is going to have exactly the same tax consequences as flipping a house. It's you know,
correct,
it's ordinary income. And selling it on financing is going to have exactly the same tax consequences as selling a house on financing, because if you literally sell it on financing, you've lost your ability to depreciate it anyway, because the IRS says it's sold, even though the payments haven't all been made. So,
yeah.
All right, that's pretty convincing, but I have more questions, and I am guessing that listeners might as well. So we're going to take a quick break and invite listeners to ask all the questions that you have while I try and think of all the questions I have. You can give us a call at 877-772-9658. Again, 877-772-9658. Or you can send an email to vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. We're on today's show. Joe McCall is trying to convert me. He wants me to flip land, and I'm thinking it's not a terrible idea from what I've heard so far. The key thing being, yeah, there just aren't a lot of people out there chasing land. I mean, if you buy a list of probate properties, foreclosure properties, absentee owners, anything like that, and you are marketing to those folks, so are 1,000 other people. But land, I mean, who do you hear that's talking about, oh, you should maybe go after distressed land? So, Joe, questions.
Yeah.
What land? There's like here in
yeah.
here in the city of Cincinnati, every time there's a tax sale, there are hundreds of these little 25 by 100 city lots and C neighborhoods that you really can't build on under current market, under current zoning codes and whatnot, but you could buy one for $150. I assume that's not what we're talking about.
No, definitely not. But by the way, at those auctions, how many people are buying land compared to how many people are buying houses at those tax auctions?
Oh, Lordy. The land usually doesn't sell at the tax auction, and it gets, we've got this process here in Ohio where if it goes up to bid twice and doesn't sell, then it goes into a state pool, and then the minimum bid is $1, and I think a lot of it still doesn't sell.
Yeah, so that's my point. But here's the thing. You can do this nationwide, right? And so Cincinnati, Ohio may not be a place where you want to invest in land. And so I like to follow the money. And so I can see nationwide, and there's different ways to do this, and I'll talk about this when I'm at the event in Orea. But there's different ways for free online. You can go and see, all right, last 90 days, which states, which counties, which zip codes in those counties have the most land activity. And what I mean by that is, like, which zip codes have had the most sales in the last 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you could look at, you know, if I was looking at Ohio, I'd say, all right, well, do people go camping and hunting in Ohio? Yeah, of course they do, right? Well, where do they go? Where do they buy land in Ohio? You can go online, a couple different websites, and see the most popular, quote-unquote, counties where the most solds are in the last 90 days. And you can drill down into that, and you can see, all right, well, I'm following the demand, right? I'm not trying to create a new market. I'm not trying to find some secret area, secret county that nobody knows about yet. I'm just going to where the demand already is. And so when I see that in whatever county in Ohio, or maybe it's not Ohio, maybe it's North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Texas, there's a lot of activity going on in Georgia and Tennessee, parts of California, believe it or not, in the mountains, Colorado. But, like, I want to go and see where is the demand already, and then I'm going to go in and see, well, what are they buying? And so it's just as easy to do deals in your backyard as it is virtually. And it really, really is. So I never go to look at the land. I never do anything to the land. I'm not doing any subdividing or doing any entitlements, or I'm not clearing the land. I'm not adding utilities. I'm not doing anything to the land. So you don't have to go see it. And we buy it so cheap that there's a lot of room for error. But anyway, we want to go see, all right, if there's a lot of land activity in Florida, what are the top 10 counties of the 90 counties in Florida? And you find the top counties, and then you go dig even deeper if you want and say, all right, what are the best zip codes? And so then I know, I can see in Florida, people buy a lot of little quarter acre infill lots, you know. In Texas, people are buying a lot of 5-acre lots. So I don't care what they're buying as much as I care where they're buying it. And I'm going to go see where they're buying it. And then I'm going to go and pull a list of people who own land in those areas that have owned it for over 10 years. And I'm going to send them simple postcards that send them to a voicemail. That's what I do.
So you seem pretty agnostic about whether it is land that somebody would be looking to buy and build on, or whether it's land that somebody would just be looking to go to hunt on. That seems to be a big thing here in Ohio, is if you can get 20 or 30 acres together, people will buy it, and they literally use it during deer season, and they use it, they take their kids out on ATVs, and and a lot of that kind of land is really remote. I mean, you can't be more than an hour and a half from, you know, some kind of decent city in most of Ohio. But, you know, we're also focused, the house folks are also focused on, the cities, because that's where the action is taking place. That's where the buyers are. And it's surprising sometimes to see, okay, there's a county I've never heard of. out in eastern Ohio, where there seems to be a lot of people buying chunks of land.
Yeah. And that's where you want to go. You want to go where there's already demand. There's already people looking for land. And so, you know, I probably wouldn't want to do little quarter acre infill lots in Ohio. I'd probably want to target on larger recreational land, 5+ acres. And that's, you know, the other big question is, well, who buys this land, right? Like, does anybody buy land anymore? Well, yeah, they do. They buy a lot of it. And so the people who buy land, like in Ohio, would be hunters and people camping, people who just want to get off the grid. You know, they want to put their RV out there and just ride their four-wheelers and go hunting, shoot their guns, not worry about HOAs and restrictions. They don't necessarily want to build a house out there.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to own land that they can call their own.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a lot of people that are looking for places where they can park their money. You know, they're taking it out of the stock market. They don't want to buy a house, you know, and manage the rental, but they would buy land because God's not making any more of it. It's a great place. It's a safe investment. So I am very agnostic. But if I was going to buy land in Florida, most of the land there, the data tells me, is little quarter-acre infill lots. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to target little quarter-acre infill lots down there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, and before I mislead my Cincinnati area peeps, there are definitely neighborhoods, and I see this happen all the time, where if you have a quarter acre, someone wants to buy it and build on it.
Oh, you want a little trick? This is what you do. You go to Zillow or Redfin, and you just look at, you can do a filter to say, show me all of the sold in the last 9 months, 6 months, where the year built of the property, the year built is after 2023. Mm-hmm. And you just pull it up in Redfin or Zillow, and you'll see that there'll be a bunch of zip codes where there's a lot of activity of new home construction, mm-hmm. either active listings and sold listings, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's, you could target those areas. You could say, all right, pull a list of all the vacant landowners in those zip codes where there's a lot of new home construction. You can get it for free right on Redfin and Zillow. And download a list of sellers in those zip codes and send them a postcard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, I've looked at the, there was actually one right across the street from me that was for sale, and it was a guy's double lot is what it was. Like there's a house and there was a piece of land the same size as the one the house was on, and a for sale sign went up in front of it, and I thought that's interesting. I mean, this is an established neighborhood. Everything here was built in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. I wonder what he thinks he's going to get for that piece of land. And then the sale sign went down. The thing sold for $100,000 or something like that. And now they're digging a foundation. So I thought, man,
wow.
maybe I should have made an offer when that FSBO sign went up. So.
Yeah.
Good. We are going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and answer some questions that folks have sent to vinaradio@gmail.com. That's V like in Victor, E-N-A, radio@gmail.com. Or you can just give us a call at 877-772-9658. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones-Cox, talking today to Joe McCall about why Vina might want to be adding land flipping to her schedule. As Joe mentioned in the previous segment, he is one of the featured speakers at the 2024 National Real Estate Investing Summit here in Cincinnati, October 31st through November 3rd. In fact, because this is a strategy that very few people are all that familiar with, he has a double-length workshop. He's got 3 hours on Sunday afternoon from 2 to 5, where he's going to be explaining more about how all of this works and getting everybody's brain around, is there really that much demand, and is there really that much motivation, and all of that sort of thing. So those of you who are coming to that, coming to the event, make sure that you put Joe on your schedule of must-see speakers. So Joe, got a question from John that actually asks like the next three questions I was going to ask anyway. So we will just answer John's question. Question number one is, you keep saying I'm buying it for 35 to 40 cents on the dollar. How do you even run comps for land deals?
Ah, good. I basically look at active listings, sold listings. It's as simple as that. And I'm looking at it. Now, it is harder to comp. It's a little harder to comp vacant than it is houses, just because there's not as much of it. And so I'm looking for, I use Zillow and Redfin, and I look at what similar properties are currently selling for. Mm-hmm. And I always, when I put my property on the market, I will always make sure my property is the cheapest property on a price per acre basis in the whole area.
Okay.
So if everything else is selling for 20 grand, similar size, I'm going to sell mine for like 18 grand. And then I make sure my offer is no more than 50% of $18,000. My offer, my maximum allowable offer would be $9,000. It's as simple as that. So I start with, okay, what are they selling for? What are they currently listed for? I just want to make sure when I put my property on the MLS to sell it, And again, I'm not fixing it up. I'm not doing anything to it. But I like to take the property down. I use other people's money to buy it, private investors, hard money lenders, things like that. And I put it on the MLS. I resell it. And I make sure mine's the cheapest because I want to sell it within like 2 to 4 weeks max.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you just said something different than I have heard other land buyers say or other land flippers say, which is you do in fact close the deal. You get it completely under control.
Yeah, it's just easier. Now, that may intimidate some people because they're like, oh, man, I don't have the money. I can't. And how can I buy it if I don't know I can sell it? Well, as you know, Vina, and I'm sure you've talked about this a million times, it's getting harder and harder to do quote-unquote traditional wholesaling where you're assigning a contract or you're double closing or you're trying to get a realtor, you know, because wholesaling is illegal, immoral, and fattening now, right? And I'm sure, like, it's fine in Ohio because you guys do such a great job of promoting real estate investing interests and stuff like that. But most parts of the country, it's getting harder and harder to wholesale or do assignments, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so with land, it's just, I'm telling you, I have never, it's never been as easy as to find private money as for land specifically, number one, but also hard money. Like, because I'm never buying these properties for more than 50 cents on the dollar, it is so easy to find private money
mm-hmm.
on these deals. And there's a lot of land investing Facebook groups, and you can find people in those Facebook groups that will lend money on a deal or partner with you on a deal. So I prefer just to take it down.
Mm-hmm.
I will use OPM, other people's money, to buy the property, take it down, and then just relist it on the MLS. Now, let me qualify that as well. My contracts, I usually have 90 days to close. And sometimes, you know, if it's a really smoking hot deal, I'll just put 30 days on my contract. But I still won't close on the deal until I know for sure that I'm going to be able to find a buyer on it. Now, sometimes I find a buyer right away. Sometimes I don't. But I just want to make sure, like, it's kind of hard to explain because you don't have, when you buy a house, you know, you usually the most you can get maybe is 1 or 2 weeks of an inspection contingency, right?
Mm-hmm.
In my contracts, I just have 90 days and I can cancel for any reason. Now, if it's a good deal again, I'll just do it in 30 days. But I can still, it's not like, you know, when you make an offer on a house and then the seller's all excited, they're packing up, they're getting ready to move out, and then the wholesaler who doesn't have integrity calls them the last minute and tries to wiggle out of the contract. You know, land isn't like that because the seller is not like wanting to move out, but I feel like I'm going around in circles here. But basically what I'm saying is I will close on the land when I know I have buyers lined up. And that usually only takes me 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll know within 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, whether it's a good deal or not. And if I know within 3 weeks it's not a good deal, I'll go back to the seller, either cancel the contract or renegotiate a new price, or give them 5 realtors that can help them list the property.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always trying to help the seller. I never drag it out. So I have 90 days to close, but I'll always know within 3 to 4 weeks whether I'm going to close on it or not. I hope that answered the question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Next question from John, and then we will go to Rob, who's calling us from Chicago. How does one go about finding buyers? You already answered that. He said he put it in MLS. His last question, which is near and dear to my heart, if you're going to convince me to add something to my already busy schedule, can it be automated? And if so, what is the most important hire that you can make?
Oh, my gosh. Your most important hire is a software. So this is what I do. I find where the hot pockets are, where there's a lot of activity. I download a list of people who own land. I send them a postcard, which drives them to a voicemail. And the postcard says, hey, if you want to sell your land, call or text our 24-hour recorded voicemail. They call the voicemail. The voicemail says, hey, thanks for calling. Listen, when you normally want to sell your land, you're faced with two options. Either list it with a realtor or list it for sale by the owner. Now you have a third choice, right? My name is Joe. We buy land, and we can close fast, give you cash, whatever, whatever. So leave your name and number and the reference ID on that postcard, and we'll send you an offer within 24 to 48 hours. We get the voicemail, and this is where now you have to, like, look at Zillow and Redfin and come up with an offer, and you just send them the offer. And you can send them the offer with the software that I use. Click, you send them the offer, and it's a numbers game at that point. You get one out of every 25, one out of every 30 offers accepted. I only talk to them after they get my offer. And once I get a contract, I call realtors, and I have the realtors do all of selling it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's about as automated as you can get in the real estate investing business.
Well, you know how I hate to quibble with you, Joe.
But I love it when you do.
You said something there that I don't think is true. You said you send out postcards. I'm betting even that part is automated in your business.
Yes, I have a software that does that.
Yeah.
So like all of everything I'm saying, I don't want to talk about the software here. But I have one software that does like almost all of that.
Yeah, it's really hard to talk about software on the radio because people can't see what you're
yeah.
talking about. Okay, let's go to line one and talk to Rob from Chicago. Rob, welcome to Real Life Real Estate. Rob, are you there? Oh, wow, Rob, you think you're in a really bad cell because we're just hearing kind of a stuttery noise. So, Rob, give us a call back because we're not picking you up for some reason.
Rob must be a Chicago Cubs fan.
Rob is a frequent caller of Real Life Real Estate. Always has really good questions. So I was sorry to not have that connection when we turned him on. Okay, so this question is from Tamuk. He says, Joe is talking about buying land for $10,000 in his example. How big is that piece of land? I'm guessing it's like a 50 by 150 city lot.
Yeah, well, it depends. You know, I'll be talking about examples in my presentation at OREA, the convention. But, you know, it could be a quarter-acre lot in Florida. It could be a five-acre lot in the deserts of Arizona. It could be a two-acre lot in the mountains of North Carolina. So there's a lot of cheap land out there, and that's why I like it so much, is because it's so cheap. Mm-hmm. And there is a big pool of buyers that are looking for cheap land, and especially when you can sell it with owner financing. Like, banks don't lend to people on cheap land, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you can advertise a property with owner financing, vacant land for the owner financing, for every one call you get from a buyer who has cash, wants to pay for it, you'll get five calls from people who want to buy it with owner financing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's a lot of land out there. We're buying land for $2,000 or $3,000 right now, selling it for $10,000 or $15,000. And there's, you know, some people are buying land for maybe $30,000 or $50,000, selling it for $80,000 or $100,000. My sweet spot is worth between $25,000 and maybe $125,000. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for land that's worth about that
mm-hmm.
price range, and I'm going to buy it no more than 50% of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a giant numbers game. It's really all it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know that buying land for $2,000 to $3,000 number is going to be really appealing to people who are like just dipping their toe. Because I mean, you could basically put that on your credit card. You know, like that's not a huge risk at all. That's like the way mobile homes used to be. Yeah, buy them for $2,000 or $3,000, sell them for $10,000 on financing. And we're going to come back to the financing question based on another question here from Michael. But first, we have to take a quick break. Again, if you have a question, you can send it to vinaradio@gmail.com. Or if you're quick, you can call in at 877-772-9658. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Talking to Joe McCall about why Vena ought to be flipping land. And I guess that means everybody ought to be flipping land. We're going to go back to the phones and see if we can hear Rob from Chicago now. Rob, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how you doing? Hi, Vena. Hi, Joe. Hey, quick question, Joe.
Hey, Rob.
Seems like you were answering my question I was originally going to ask as I was getting transitioned to get in line on the call. That was, what's the duration of the contract you get the land under, or how do you control it? But since you've already answered that question, how about this one? How do you get the sellers to agree to a 90-day contract duration? What magical phrase you use? Or I know they're not waiting to move, but still, there might be a little leery. So what kind of verbiage do you use to get it?
I don't use any verbiage. I just send them an offer. I have a one-page contract, and here it is. You know, here's the thing you got to remember. These sellers, they're not getting 100 other offers like they do with houses. Like, I might be the only offer that they've ever seen. And there's not a bunch of competition going after these same sellers. Now, let me say this. When I was first getting started, all I did was 90 days. Now, as I have more experience, more confidence, and I kind of know what I'm doing, I'll do 30 days now, right? But getting started, I recommend do 90 days. And you know, I rarely have ever had a seller complain about it. Also, I don't do, maybe I shouldn't say this because Vena will be mad at me. I normally don't do earnest money deposits either.
I don't either.
I don't do earnest money deposits. I don't do a have an inspection contingency. It's like my contract, it'll blow you away. Now, I occasionally, maybe one time out of 100, I have a seller that objects to 90 days. They object to no earnest money deposit, and they object to my, I can cancel the contract anytime I want during that 90 days. So when they do object, I just ask them questions like about why, and I want to get more information about it. And then that's a whole another topic, but it just hasn't been a problem.
Yeah, Rob, I think maybe it would help to go back to what the situation and psychology of these sellers is. Most of them have been sitting on this land for, well, I mean, Joe said he only markets people who've owned it for more than 10 years. So they've been sitting on it for at least 10 years. It probably comes into their heads only when the tax bill comes due and they go, oh, I should sell that. But it's not a huge priority to them to sell it the way somebody who, like, they need the money to go close another house.
Right.
And so, you know, 90 days after, I've been saying to myself every year for 11 years, I really need to sell that piece of land Dad passed on to me. You know, another 90 days is like, eh.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense that they're not really giving it much thought. But I'm just curious if when they objected, for whatever reason they might, if you had something magical you said, but since it's part of your original contract, it's kind of right up front at the beginning. But thank you for the answer.
All right.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks.
You know, Vena, it's a common question people ask, like, well, why would a seller ever sell their property so cheap? It's the same reason why, you know, somebody who bought a treadmill for $2,500 and has used it maybe twice in the last 5 years, and all it does is, you know, collect dust and laundry, and it just reminds them of how overweight they are every time they walk by it, and their wife is mad at them for ever buying it in the first place. And they're like, you know, there's a garage sale. Let's just get rid of this thing. Right? The treadmill still works. They could have listed it on Facebook Marketplace or eBay. They could have cleaned it up and taken really nice pictures of it. But like that, just get rid of it. There's a garage sale. So they'll list it for, you know, $250. It's the same thing with land. It's they just don't care about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by the way, let me add this too. I'm sorry. Let me add this. Whenever I'm talking to realtors, I mean, to sellers, I never lie to them or tell them, hey, your property is really only worth this. I just tell them, listen, I'm not a retail buyer. And if you want, I can give you the names and phone numbers of five realtors that have sold land recently. You should probably just do that. you should probably list this property with a realtor. But if you want the easy button, then I can pay cash and I can close on the deal and I'll give you the price. Mm-hmm. So I always give the sellers options. I feel like that's the right ethical thing to do, right? Like I always give them options, say, listen, here's five realtors or here's my offer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people have, you called it emotional attachment, but people have a personal use value that they attach to houses. I'm living mm-hmm. in it. I could keep living in it. I'm renting it. I could keep renting it. A lot of these land sellers, they literally have not laid eyes on the piece of land, sometimes ever, if they inherited it. And very often in years and years and years, they don't have that use. They're not going out and taking their kids out on the ATV. It's just this asset on a piece of paper that I don't use it. So they don't typically have in their heads, well, but I could go build a house on it and then sell the house for $500,000. Yeah, if they were going to do that, they would have done it sometime in the last decade.
Yeah.
If they wanted to go through all of that. Okay. Yeah. Question from John in North Carolina. What kind of follow-up does Joe do past the postcards? So do you send him a second postcard? Do you call him? Do you do anything else other than the postcard?
Yeah. Well, follow-up is super important. I only follow up with the people that called me back. If they call me, say, yeah, I'd like an offer, I send them an offer every 30 days. And I, for at least 3 months, I send them the same offer every 30 days unless I hear back from them and they tell me yes or no or take me off your list. And then I just follow up with them every 30 days. And my software does this. It sends a postcard and or a letter. It sends a text. It sends an email. It reminds me to just call them manually. So, like, I operate under, like, this philosophy of no lead left behind. So every lead gets followed up with. We did a study once in the previous 12 months. This was a year or two ago. How many deals we did? We did about 58 deals. And we looked at how much follow-up did we do with those deals. And of those 58 deals, only 4 deals came from that first conversation with the seller. So if we would not have done any follow-up, we would have only done 4 deals that year. But instead, we did 58 deals. And on average, it was 7 to 8 touches over 2 to 3 months. So the power is in the follow-up, not necessarily mailing that same list over and over and over again. But once they do call me and I've captured their phone number in my software, then I'm constantly following up with them until they tell me to stop or they sell the land to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So, Joe, unfortunately, I'm getting the peace sign over here, which means we have 2 minutes left. So you tell me what questions I should have asked if I was going to be an intelligent decision maker about whether I was going to do this or not that we don't actually have time to answer, but that you'll talk to people about at the summit.
Well, we were talking about new home construction in Cincinnati. I just did a quick search. It took me like 1 or 2 minutes in Redfin. And there's 2 zip codes. If I wanted to do infill lots in Cincinnati area, there's 2 zip codes, 41091 and 41017. And those are kind of south, southwest of Cincinnati in the Kentucky side. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of new construction that has sold there in the last 90 days. And so then I went and pulled a list of homeowners in those zip codes, vacant landowners. And I also went to another website and looked at, okay, in this whole state of Ohio, which state has the most activity going on in terms of properties that have sold and that are currently on the market? And this might not be a surprise to you, I don't know, but Highlands County is very active, Adams, Vinton, Muskegon,
and that's eastern Ohio. That's where I was saying there's all that land.
Yeah. Yeah. And so just with a quick free search, I found the top 2 zip codes in Cincinnati for infill lots. And I went to another website and I found the top 5 counties where most of the recreational land is being sold. And I went into one of these counties into my software and I pulled a list here of 633 individual people who own land for over 10 years in Ashtabula County. I just randomly picked that one. And it's a great list. And I guarantee, how many people do you think are sending mail right now, Vina, to landowners in Ashtabula County?
Well, you send that list over to me, and there will be at least one.
They're not getting any mail, right? Maybe once in a blue moon, but they're not getting any mail. Mm-hmm. How many investors do you think are sending mail right now to Highland County? Do you even know where that is?
Vaguely, yes. It's rural.
Adams, Vinton, yeah. So it's like very little competition. But when I do get a deal, I know there's a lot of activity there already. So I know I can sell these properties easily. And by the way, there's a lot of realtors that are selling land already there. This is why, because I'm doing this virtual, I want to make sure I'm in areas where I can get realtors, good realtors, to sell my deals for me.
Okay, Joe, we got to go, unfortunately, but all right, I'm mostly convinced. I'll probably be more convinced after I see you at the summit on November the 3rd. Folks who want to hear Joe and 34 other awesome presenters who are going to be talking about what they are doing to make money in the current market, go to AreaConvention.com. We will be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.